Hello and welcome to Platforms for Future. This podcast is about building and scaling B2B platform ventures to help you to accelerate and de-risk your journey with practical tips and insights. In our conversations, we talk to founders, executives, and experts, uncovering what they experienced and learned building their ventures. But we also cover new trends like ecosystem strategies, IoT and data platforms, Web3 and sustainability. This podcast is complementary to our Platform Innovation Kit toolset and the Platform Academy, where you can find more tools and learning opportunities for you and your team. For more information, please visit platforminnovationkit.com. And now, enjoy today's conversation.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to a new episode of our podcast, Platforms for Future. And today with me, my lovely co-host, Natalie. Hi, Natalie.
Hi, Matthias. Happy to be here again.
Oh, nice. Me too. And today we have two special guests in our podcast. We have Mark and Dirk. Both are from the Volkswagen Corporation. And we will today talk about the digital production platform inside of Volkswagen and how can you scale. How can you unlock network effects with a platform inside of a corporation? Hello, Mark. Hello, Dirk. Welcome to our podcast.
Hi, Natalie. Hi, Matthias.
Okay, this works very well. So, Mark and Dirk, maybe can you give a short introduction? Maybe, Mark, can you start?
Yeah, hello together. Thanks for having us today. Great opportunity. So, my name is Mark Geckler. I'm within the Volkswagen Group IT, and I'm responsible for so-called business technology platforms. And one of my lovely favorite platform we are trying and we are building actually is the digital production platform.
Yeah, and my name is Dirk Vogt. I'm the partner of Mark Heckler. I'm part of the production organization in the business side, and I'm responsible in the VW brand for the digitalization of the whole production. And I'm also responsible for the digital production platform as well.
Thank you for your introduction. And let's go straight into the conversation. But before we talk about all the insights you learned over the last years in building up this platform, maybe can you give a short intro also to our listeners? What is the digital production platform? How does it fit into the overall picture of Volkswagen? Because, we know Volkswagen is also going through a major transformation with mobility is changing and digitalization and so on. So how does the DPP fit into this? And also, what exactly is the DPP? Maybe you can explain to our listeners.
Well, that's not very easy to describe, but as you stated, it started in 2018. So where we see that all these economical changes, we have this digitalization and all these lots of these efforts around. And so it's one of our strategy to move forward and to transform into a data-driven company. And so we started in the area of production and logistics, where we have a lot of heterogeneous system landscape, a lot of siloed applications, and we see that there are a lot of different things and data in the shop floor, which is more or less unlocked. And so we started with that idea to unlock that information and building so-called business technology platforms, transforming and shaping, taking the data from the shop floors to the cloud, moving from data into information, learning from that, do predictive and autonomous things. And so we shaped that idea together, and the DPP fits into our so-called three platform approach of Volkswagen in the production and logistics area, where we have a product lifecycle management platform. We have the still an SAP platform, of course, for the standard software in the ERP area. And in the middle, we have that digital production platform. So that's the core of our three platform approach, where we want to put a lot or more, almost the best applications into the cloud in the future. So it's also part of the cloud first strategy we defined years ago. And beyond that, it's also the idea to build then applications on top of that, data we put into the cloud, reducing complexity, reducing effort, and reducing, of course, so the cost in the factories. That's the main goal.
And that's also one important part from the perspective of the production is that the production takes place in lots of plants, and all these plants have in the past a really heterogeneous IT landscape. And so in the most of the plants, we have very innovative ideas. We have cool guys that are building software to improve the productivity of the plants. But due to this heterogeneity, we never were able to share this over the fences of the plants. So, and with the DPP, the idea is also to have an standard for foundation to share data, to enable applications, and to enable also a fast transfer of applications from one plant to another. So that's also key for the digital transformation of our production overall.
It sounds actually like a very complicated job to do. And I see you nodding. Our listeners cannot see that, but you're both nodding very strongly. So maybe naively, how did you get started? Where did you start? Because that sounds like a huge journey.
So the idea started already in 2018. And so by looking into our factories, seeing that that siloed, as I stated, that siloed applications unlocked that data. So we started all with some contests. We looked into the market, what's there in building a platforms and using IoT data and how to build a platform. Usually, we are starting with a typical project approach, and we saw that that might be a difference in building not a traditional project, rather than building a platform for the future where we also have decentralized application, doing democratizing data and so on. And we started with this contest, and the more we work together with different companies, different platform providers, so then we come to an idea, to a conclusion, to do it a little bit different and building a platform together with a partner.
Can I just get to that point that you mentioned in slightly more detail? You're saying we sensed that it would not be like a traditional project. So we did a contest to work with a partner. In what sense was it different, or did you see it was going to be different?
Yeah, maybe. So as Mark mentioned, so we did also and research on the market, and we found about 500 IoT platforms. So 500 possibilities to share data. Yeah, most of them very focused, small, and so on. So, but there was not the only one platform that was ready to use. So normally we are looking for a supplier who offers us a product ready to use, make some customization, and that's it. But that was simply not possible here. So there was no ready-to-use product, and we really realized that we need to develop this with a partner. So we, with our core competency of manufacturing cars, learned that this also needs a strong partnership. And that's why we started these benchmark projects. And that was the start of the journey in 2018.
And part of this research and part of this evaluation, was there also the option to build your own platform? So let's say a little bit like the Amazon style. So what you can build for yourself, you maybe can also build for someone others. So maybe you can, if there's not an out of the box platform available, build your own one. You can put in your intelligence how you manufacture cars. And this is something maybe you can also give to other, let's say maybe foundries or car manufacturers out there.
We think that the automotive industry is different. Our plants are unique. Some of our processes are unique. And so we'll at that contest, it turned out that having a partner in that would be something totally different. So it's also the partnership, and we choose AWS at the end, plus Siemens as a first-class citizen partner. AWS is our main partner, and they are investing into that partner platform in parallel. So it's not only us investing in that and building it by ourselves, it's also AWS. And that's something which is really different.
It sounds very interesting. So you not only made a decision to go into an building up an IoT platform, but also choosing partners to do this. So forming an alliance together with AWS and Siemens. So after you selected your partner and how you kicked off the project, what was the journey in the last 2 years building up the platform?
Yeah, I think the journey starts with bringing the teams together. So I still remember the first meetings. So there were a group of people, a team of people, nearly like aliens, yeah, coming from Seattle to Wolfsburg, yeah, center of nowhere from their perspective. And it starts also with building a team culture. It starts with learning from each other. So on the AWS side, there was a team quite innovative with excellent innovation process, with a completely different innovation culture on one hand, and on the other hand, there was also a team with a high amount of experience of building cars, of establishing processes that are able to be stable for a very long time, very reliable. So in the first weeks and months, we nearly had a clash of cultures, and it was really enriching to learning from each other. And I can say I learned a lot in these first months, and I'm still learning. And I think the AWS colleagues are also learning a lot, because they were not in this manufacturing industry, in this automotive industry, in this deepness before. And so this is also part of our partnership, to learn from each other. And that's really, really valuable.
What was the major learning you went through?
Yeah, it was a shock, almost a shock for us, because we did not start and create a project plan. We started creating a narrative, a North Star narrative, and PR FAQs. We have not done any kind of presentations, so we did no PowerPoints. We created documents, and we talked a lot about the long-term vision. And so that led us first to the first statement that we had, that press release. So we had working on a press release and something which we released, and that was really different in the beginning. And that's a start of a new culture for us, learning from a company which has a high innovation, a culture of innovation, that principles, culture, and technology. And that was the difference in the starting. That was really amazing.
And once you've got a press release and you've announced this to the world, there's no going back, right? You just have to move forward.
Exactly. It's still a process, and to look at that and to repeat it and to look constantly into your North Star if it's still correct.
How did you take those first steps and prioritize? What did you prioritize and how? You mentioned just, working on one plant first, for example.
The idea at the start was that we in parallel start building kind of platform, first platform services, which we thought already that might be valuable for the customers. So we started a use case driven approach. So we did not concentrate too much on the technology and building that platform. So we started to support use cases, finding valuable use cases, supporting them in order to find out what is required really for a platform. So we try to do that in parallel. And then constantly rethinking of that idea over the time, we changed that approach, because the more use cases you have, then you need to change that concentration. So that was almost the beginning.
And looking where you are today, can you describe, so after 2 years of building the platform, where are you today? So how many plants are onboarded? How many use cases maybe you have created and supported? So can you give our listeners a kind of a feeling where you are? So
sure. It's not so easy to summarize this in one short answer. So first of all, VW, the group VW, consists of several brands, and our first approach was to onboard at least one plant from every brand. That's what we did in the first year. Already more or less. So that's also one of our core principles, to enable the plants to do as much of the job as possible. So we in the beginning we onboarded one plant per brand, and then we rolled it out more and more. So currently we are covering at the end about somewhere around 70% of our production capacity has now access to the DPP and its services. So for sure, that does not mean that every equipment is connected now. So, but we have the plants connected. Currently, the most of the European plants are connected. There are two or three plants missing in Europe, and that's where we started. Then we go over the Atlantic, currently connecting the South American plants. And at the end of this year, we will have onboarded about nearly 50 plants, I guess. And our most important car building plants and also component plants will be connected at the end of this year fully. And that's the way we go.
So that's a global scaling. When we talk about platforms, obviously we talk about network effects. Were you able to leverage some network effects for an internal platform? And if so, which ones? How did you go about this? Or did you actually go in a linear manner, convincing plant by plant? How did you get support from the network effects, if any, in scaling this?
We had several ways how we started that. So we, as Dirk, we started by plant. We took a use case and started a little bit smaller, but we had in parallel plans. They had their really own IT organization, and they just really started to follow that idea. So we need to sell that idea of building a platform decentrally. And some of the plans and brands already follow that, have their own team, and they started quickly building things by themselves. So that was kind of the first little popcorn. And but over the time, and where are we now so far? It's a long journey, it's a marathon, so you need to be patient. And so we are not at that point where we have that flywheel effect we really wish to have. So we see in starting beginning of this year that now there is an effect that people are asking us, when can we get onboarded? The first year of the project, that was almost something like going to each plant, convincing them why we are here, what does it need to get your data into the cloud, building smaller use cases rather than things, big projects, doing smaller things by themselves. That was really a good start, hard start, and we'll try to see that popcorn effect hopefully this year.
Yeah, I like popcorn effect. This is how you internally call the network effect, like the popcorns, and then one pops, then another one pops, etc. What I also kind of learned is that you wanted to achieve a kind of a cross-plant sharing of best practices, let's say this way. So if one plant is building up their own apps or their own applications, their own use cases, and you would like to leverage this kind of learning, which they put into an app or into an application, into a use case, and share it with the other one. This is for me a true network effect when the other plant benefits from another plant. So it's not coming from a kind of a central IT, but it's coming from plant to plant. Is this a kind of connection already established, or do you see this now popping up more and more, or how is this kind of network effect?
We had this more or less from the beginning on. In the first year we started with a conference inviting all the plants to be onboarded in the following year, and we asked them, hey, it's not only about onboarding, it's also about realizing use cases. Which use case you can imagine? And then they came up with a lot of cool ideas, but at the end, much more ideas than resources we had. So then the idea was, okay, let's build communities. So let's build communities that are taking care of a class of use cases, of a group of use cases. And that's what we did. So one really successful community is our predictive maintenance community. In this community, all guys are organized. They organize themselves. So it's not a formal board or something like this. It's just a community. And all the guys that are building building use cases for predictive maintenance are in there, align themselves, set some standards more or less, and agreed how to build, look for possible supporters, share experiences, and so on. So that's a really cool situation. And so we started with about 6 communities, I remember, in the first year. And that helped us a lot of clustering the use cases. And these communities are also prioritizing ideas. They are in contact with partners that offering additional solutions. They are the expert. They tell us, okay, this partner would be really valuable, and this partner XYZ only offers marketing bubbles, for instance. So that's really cool.
Dear listeners, I hope you enjoy our podcast and you can learn more about building and scaling a successful platform business. I'm Matthias, CEO of Fastbreak One. And as you know, we at Fastbreak One are platform entrepreneurs by heart. Since over 20 years, we are building new platforms, and this makes us one of the most experienced platform venture builders around the globe. If you are a corporate and you tried out different strategies, consultants, IT partners, but your platform initiative struggles to scale, please check out our assessment services. For example, we work closely together with a leading insurance company who tried to establish a platform for 2 years, but the results were below expectations and the risk to fail was very high. Within 1 month, we helped them to understand the bottlenecks and created a step-by-step plan to scale. Today, we are working very closely with the company and the platform became a market leader. Yes, we are no consultants. We are entrepreneurs and we love to share the risk and go full in building new platform ventures. Learn more about our experience and our practices of work at our website www.fastbreak.one or send us an email to contact@fastbreak.one. And now let's go back to the conversation.
Sounds like a very good approach that you really listen to the customers. So you listen to the users and they define what should come next or what you should focus next. So you mentioned predictive maintenance as a use case. And this is, I think, the
cluster
most
of use cases.
Yeah. But this predictive maintenance thing, this is, I think, the most prominent use case for IoT platforms. All the time you hear about predictive maintenance. But what other use cases you also realized, or you maybe realized this is something plants are really looking for?
I think the second best example would be our industrial computer vision use cases. I mean, we have in parallel started, our team has started to build computer vision platform, which is a service inside our platform now. And we started building first use cases in order to recognize labels at a car. You imagine we have about, I think so, 1,300 different variants of labels inside a vehicle. And if you have the wrong label on the wrong car, so that could hinder you to deliver cars and so on. We'll do underbody inspection. We'll do crack detection in that area. All that based on that computer vision system we built totally on top of the DPP by ourselves.
Another question is regarding the data. So I imagine if you connect multiple plants to a central platform, you can also leverage the data which is going through this centralized platform, because you can learn and teach AI much faster. Because if you are a single plant with your own AI, it maybe takes longer to train the AI. But if you can connect multiple plants with multiple data sources, you can train the AI much faster. Is this also a case here that you say, yes, connecting multiple plants could also enhance our AI, artificial intelligence behind?
In that area, we have another use case in a few plants, which is called the welding spot analytics. So we have welding clamps, and we'll take that data from the welding spot and transfer that data to the cloud and analyze if the welding spots, if they are correct. And so anomaly detection, kind of that. And that's the first use cases where we train today. We use the data, train the algorithm in the cloud. The future, we want to put that inferencing of such use cases then also to the edge. So yes, we'll start it already, things of that.
Okay, so it sounds all like a huge success story. So you started 2 or 3 years ago, went through a selection, partnered, formed an alliance, you listened to your customers, onboarded a lot of plants. Now you see the first popcorn effect and network effects kicking in. So what comes next? What are your plans? What is your North Star you want to achieve? So have you achieved your North Star, and do you need to change your narrative a bit, or based on what you have learned in the last 2 years, what comes next? What is the outlook for the next years?
So for sure, so this program was started for a 5-year period, currently we are just finishing the 3rd year. So there are a lot of things to go, a lot of miles to go, but we just did a review for the first half of the project. And for sure, we will adapt our activities now. So now the time is coming very soon where we onboarded our most important plants, for instance. So we will take some resources out of the onboarding process and will make use of them in other areas. So we will focus on supporting more use case demands. At the end, currently we are realizing several use cases in every plant, but we did not cover a whole plant, for instance, and that would be the evolutionary step-by-step approach now to go and to go broader in the plants, to make to spread the use cases, to develop additional use cases, to offer use cases more functionality capabilities out of the platform. And to be honest, there will never be an end, because our experts will have every time additional ideas. And that's what we are now doing. So first onboarding phase is over, and now we are going to make more and more use cases possible.
And just in addition, so we started, as I said, a plant-centric approach. So we started onboarding as much plants as possible in a short time, and we saw that this will not help us to build that network effect, because we'll go in there very short with one use case, then we leave and go to the next. And sometimes we leave them back with open questions. So last year we started with together with you, with your company, with Fastbreak One, and with a platform innovation kit, a 9-week journey where we then got back to and had lots of interviews of our customers. And that helped us to reshape that program a little bit. And now we are focusing on a holistic planned approach. So we are building together with them data lakes, data concepts, how to get data out into the personal data lake, having kind of decoupled architecture, and so on. That was really a great thing.
In fact,
Natalie,
sorry, Matthias, earlier. Well, you know, earlier, Matthias, you said, oh, this sounds like a very successful journey. And I thought you were going to say, okay, but there must have been problems or failures again in that journey, and you didn't. So I'm going to ask, were there big problems or big failures that you thought, you know, you could have avoided, or that you couldn't have, but you've learned from?
Sure, every day. every day we learned a lot. Every day we made failures. So there are so many people working. So it's quite natural that there are failures and problems. So I guess one of the major learning was that bringing a DPP to the plants is not only a technological challenge. Yeah. So technology is really important, but at the end, it's only the 50% of the game. Yeah. And the rest is change management. So, and maybe we learned that this was a little bit underestimated at the beginning. So as Mark said, yeah, we onboarded the plants, told them how to realize the use case. And our original assumption was, okay, after building the first use case together with us, they will be able to scale it in their own responsibility. Yeah. So, and that was one of the major learnings. That's too much. Yeah. So we need to support them a little bit longer. We are now setting up enhanced plan onboarding programs where we support them. And we learned also from the first plans that get a little bit more support, realize 3, 4, 5 use cases. And then they start setting up their own organizations, and then they start building their own use cases, adapting existing use cases from other plans. And that was one of the major learnings, I would say, from the onboarding perspective.
Also, what you mentioned earlier, so Mark mentioned, so going broad, try to onboard a lot of plants, but not going deep into one plant. This is also a failure, or not a failure, but a strategy Open Table started with. And then they realized, hey, we need to. So their approach was to go to multiple cities and try to convince as much as restaurants in multiple cities at the same time. But instead of going into one city and onboard a lot of restaurants in one city first, and then take this network effect to go to the next city. So it sounds like a little bit like that. And what you also mentioned is about the communities. So you mentioned earlier, the communities are a huge driver of growth and convincing and being part of change management. So are those communities part of your enhanced onboarding process, or is this something stable? So you have community managers established. So how do you run those communities?
And like Dirk said, it started all with that first so-called planned onboarding conference. And there we founded the first few communities. We also, for example, started an architecture community, so more technology focused, which failed at the first step because we did not have that people joining us. So, and like last year, in end of last year, one guy from one brand came from the Audi brand and said, why do we not have kind of that community? And I said, you're happy to do that. So I'm open to that. You can start it. So we even do not start a community from the Volkswagen Group. So we try to build our communities, have the leaders outside in the brands and plants, for example. So that's also one of the key learnings. Same for like partners. So we'll try it in the beginning. We'll try to onboard as many partner companies as we can, doing little POCs. And they never come to production. So this is also a learning that we'll take, we'll slow down a little bit. We take exclusively a few partners and bring them and support them to get onboarded to the DPP until they go into production.
Yeah, as you know, we are also focusing with Platforms for Future on the sustainability aspect. So we think each platform we build should be also a sustainable platform with a positive contribution to the society and to the environment. How does the DPP maybe provide also a positive impact to the society or maybe to the environment?
Yeah, so one important role of the DPP in our Go to Zero activities is setting the foundation for all the use cases that are covering the measurement of energy consumption, that are covering the collection of data regarding this Go to Zero strategy. And so that's also one of our communities, building use cases to manage the energy consumption. And as a group, we are following a strict idea to be carbon neutral till 2050, and so we are currently following targets there, and these targets are mainly measured by systems running on the DPP.
And in addition to that, so also in the IT, we have activities to measure our footprint by our systems we'll provide to our customers. And so we try also to reduce that footprint, but therefore also you need to measure it. And it depends in which data center, in which cloud, in which region you host your workloads, and if you can reduce that and use that effectively.
Okay, so you started by saying that initially, when you started back in 2018, the goal was to support the overall company strategy. How do you feel, so like 3 years into it, or two and a half years into it, how do you feel this is this initiative, this platform is supporting that strategy? Have you achieved or partially achieved that goal?
Yes, I think we support our vision. We support our company in bringing these effects into the world. We have the honor to report every 2 to 3 months to the board of directors for production. And they are currently relying on us. They give us positive feedback, and they trigger their teams to make use of the DPP. So we have an cloud first strategy that is signed by all the directors, and the teams that are now bringing new stuff in the world are doing this based on the DPP.
Looking at the time, so thank you for all the great insights about the DPP. Let's come to a last question to both of you. So you are executives, you are driving this initiative. What would be your single most important advice you would like to give and hand over to other executives, maybe trying the same approach, trying to also consider building a platform? So what would be your maybe major learning you went through or major thing you would like to give to other executives? Maybe Mark, yeah.
So when we have on that journey, we have been talking also to other companies building platforms. And what we've definitely learned, this is a marathon. It's not a sprint. And one of the most important things also is trust. Trust in your colleagues, trust in the organization, and trust in your vision. And keep always going with your vision. We factor that or sometimes rethink about if you're on the right way. And then at least what we've definitely learned from AWS is always working backwards from the customer.
So again, for the listeners, as soon as you mentioned the magic word that I actually thought I would not have time to mention today, trust, I started smiling, and Matthias is teasing me on this, but I'm glad you mentioned this because actually that was going to be one of my questions. So, but yeah, to conclude, thank you very much. As Matthias said, it's been really, really great insights for us and for the listeners. Maybe we'll have to, no, not maybe, for sure, we'll have to invite you again.
No, thank you both for joining and giving those great insights and also your advices. Yeah, and as Natalie mentioned, maybe we can have a second episode going more into the details of your use cases, because I think our listeners, they are interested in B2B platforms, and so they are very, very curious about learning more about detailed use cases and how can you really, what kind of use cases you can really realize with an IoT platform, a B2B platform. So maybe there's a chance to have a second episode about that later on. But yes, so far, thank you very much. All the best for the, to continue your journey and achieving your narrative. And yeah, thank you for joining.
Thank you.
You too.
Thanks to you.